Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
A culture is established by what is celebrated in that culture and what is disciplined in that culture. Jesus is establishing what the culture of the kingdom of God is to look like. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you weren't born again into a church necessarily. You were born again into the kingdom of God. We have become heirs. We have become children of God's kingdom. Jesus in Matthew 5, preaching of the kingdom, is laying out the order, the behavior, the culture of the kingdom of God. A culture that we're supposed to be advancing in the earth. Not one that we're supposed to wait till we die to experience when we get to heaven. I mean, as simple as the Lord's Prayer is, an instruction on prayer, you see a revelation of the kingdom of God even in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray that's found inside the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse number 9. But in that prayer, he says this, after this manner, matter of fact, let's look at it real quick in Matthew 6, just one chapter away. See verse 9, after this manner, this is the way you behave in prayer. This is the order of prayer. This is the manner of prayer. Any of y'all remember going somewhere with your parents and they, when you got there, they said, you better mind your manners. Some of y'all didn't have no home training, but that's what home training was like. You learned your manners at home and then you practiced them when you went somewhere else. And I don't mean that being ugly. There's literally some people here never had no home training. And it's just the way it is. Amen. I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm just saying, how many of y'all here right now didn't get no home training? See, look at all the hands that went up. Now, so I was joking and hands were going up. So, amen. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. So Jesus says here in Matthew 6 and 9, after this what? Manner, therefore pray ye. So the whole Sermon on the Mount is laying out the manners of the kingdom. And he said, this is how you pray. The first petition in the prayer is in verse number 10, and it reveals what we should want to accomplish in our lives and what kind of fruit our lives should yield. When he says in verse 10, read it with me. Thy kingdom come. That's kingdom living. If you ever wanted to know what kingdom living looked like and what the kingdom of God meant, just look at this first petition in the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples to pray. And that prayer is, thy kingdom come. That means, King Jesus, take dominion, make my life your domain, take dominion over my body, my mind, my spirit, my assets, all that you've put in my life. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the king's dominion. Thy kingdom come. King Jesus, take dominion over my marriage, take dominion over my children, take dominion over the education of my children, take dominion over all that I say and do. Thy kingdom come. And when King Jesus has dominion, when you give the king dominion, then his will is done. When you give anybody dominion, their will is done. If you say, I can't make my mind up, whatever you say, and they say, okay, we're going to eat hamburgers, then hamburgers it is. The will of hamburgers is done. Because when you surrender your will to then now, the person to whom you yielded your will to, their will is done. Kingdom living is all about surrendering my will to God, that his will is done in my life. Hallelujah. He says, thy kingdom come. Now, the will of God can't be done in your life until you give him dominion. We surrender our lives to the will of God. We surrender our lives to the word of God. We give him dominion. That's why when your daddy left, you know, so-and-so's house where the kids were acting like baby's kids, your daddy got in the car and said, boy, if that's my house, them kids would never been up on that coffee table like that. So your daddy didn't do nothing because it wasn't his house. So where you don't have dominion, you don't exercise your will. So we pray, thy kingdom come. Lord, take dominion over my life. And when the Lord is having his way in your life and you have given him dominion, then the evidence is going to be his will is done in you. And notice what he's after here. Thy will be done where? In earth as it is where? In heaven. So the church and our lives individually should act as embassies. Embassies of the kingdom of heaven, where I'm representing the kingdom of heaven. I'm an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. That's what the church is called to be, an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. An embassy is a territory that is owned by a separate government, but is empowered, provided, and protected by the government it represents in foreign territory. God established embassies in the earth. And that embassy is the church. And the church exists in cities and communities and neighborhoods. And that church, every church, is supposed to represent the will of heaven in the earth. Be the embassy of heaven in earth. And be provided by heaven and protected by heaven. And the will of heaven be advanced in that embassy. And if the church be an embassy, and I believe it is, then every member of that church is an ambassador. It means you are an ambassador of Christ. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you are an ambassador. You represent another government. You represent another kingdom. You don't necessarily just represent the nation that you were born in. You represent the kingdom in which you were born again into. So I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I represent him. And in this kingdom, I'm advancing the will of heaven in the earth so that those that I come in contact with in the earth can get a glimpse of the culture of heaven in my life. So if I am to advance the will and the behavior and the manners of heaven in earth, I need to know what those behaviors are. I need to know what those manners are. I need to know what his word has to say about kingdom living so that I can rightfully and righteously represent the kingdom of heaven in the earth. That's always been God's plan. This is not anything new. This is not new to the gospel. It's not new to the book of Matthew, because its existence is the very, very beginning. It was God's plan when he made Adam in the first place. The first gift God gave man in Genesis 1:26 was dominion. He created a man in his own image. He put that man in the earth, and the first gift God gave man was dominion. Adam was to represent God in heaven. Adam was to be the subordinate king in the earth and advance the will of God in heaven in the earth. And we know that man failed in doing that. Jesus came to restore man's relationship with God so that we could get back to God's original plan for man. And that is that we represent who God is, that we represent the will of heaven as it is in the earth. Amen. Now, so when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7, these are the manners of the kingdom. If you want to represent the kingdom of heaven in the earth, this is how you live. If you want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, this is how you live. Now, you can put an I Love Jesus bumper sticker on your car, and that's all good. But that doesn't necessarily advance the will of heaven in the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? If you want to be an ambassador for Christ and represent the kingdom of heaven in the earth, the will of God, the word of God, the wisdom of God, the provision of God, the power of God, the blessing of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, all that God is, all of his attributes, that Jesus is laying out exactly how to do that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Sadly, there are a few that have even read it, are picked up on this as a system of behavior. Now, let's go back to Matthew 5, because I got a lot to cover. Y'all got time? Yeah. All right, then. So let's go back to Matthew 5, because Jesus is laying out what the culture of his kingdom looks like. And I need you to see in verse number 19 that in the culture of his kingdom, we live by the commandment of God. We live by the word of God. Hallelujah. And his commandments are not grievous. Verse 19 says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Notice that what you're living and what you're teaching in the earth merits a response in heaven. Can anybody see that? So that if I'm telling folk not to live by the book in the earth, then heaven views me as the least. But if I'm telling other people to live by the book in earth, then heaven is looking at me as the greatest. Why? Because the purpose of my life is to advance the will of heaven in the earth. Now, listen, everybody in the earth is not going to necessarily appreciate that, honor that, respect that. But I'm not living to please the earth. I'm living to please the one who created heaven and earth. I'm living to please the one who sits on the throne in heaven. Hallelujah. So I'm not worried about what folk around me are saying. I'm living by the standard of his word, his infallible word in my life. And as I advance his word through the way I live and the things I teach, it will alter the way I am viewed in heaven on how I have positioned myself in his word. Now, the reason I wanted to show you this and the reason I keep showing you this is because there's going to always be somebody to try to talk you out of doing the book. I mean, I don't keep up with all the stuff folks say about me and Word of God. I don't even care. People try to say, you know what, I don't know. No, I don't want to know. I've not been on Facebook, and I'm not knocking Facebook. I put my face in this book because that book don't always like me, and I don't need to hear all that. But you'll have individuals say, for example, well, he teaches out of the Old Testament too much. How you gonna know who you are, and how are you gonna know what Jesus came to fulfill if you don't look at what he fulfilled? You haven't seen in the Word anywhere where I'm supposed to ignore all God's Word and all God's precepts. I'm supposed to know and understand these precepts because they were intended for my life. The commandment of God is not grievous. And what Jesus is doing here in Matthew 5:19 is he is endorsing the teaching of his commandments. He's endorsing the teaching of his Word. And he's saying that if you do these things and you teach those things, you're great in the kingdom. But if you disobey these teachings, even the least, and you tell others it don't take all that, you're the least. He's laying out the culture of his kingdom. Can everybody see that? All right, now come over to chapter 6 again. When it comes to my life, if you know Jesus, if you've been born again, and you now want to live as an ambassador, you want to live to bring him glory, here's what must be done. It's Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are all those things that before you knew Jesus, you ran after. Or maybe you ran after even after you knew the Lord. But these things were principal in your life. These things were first in your life." He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That means before you please yourself, before you please anybody, before you do anything, you first seek what the kingdom of God has to say about this thing that you're being challenged by, or this decision that you've got to make. I'm putting what the kingdom said first. Seek first, not second, not third, first. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's number one. And then I know that all these things that would like to have had that number one spot, God will just add them to my life. They will just come into my life because I put first his kingdom. Hallelujah. But the reason I've had to spend this time talking about the kingdom of God is because you might have read that verse and said, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is seeking the domain of the king. Lord, your will be done in my life on earth just as it is in heaven. When I'm seeking the kingdom, I'm wanting heaven's will to be done in my life. I'm surrendering my life. I'm surrendering my will. I'm surrendering my substance. Everything I have in my life, I actually don't have. I'm just looking over it. I'm just managing everything, including my life, belongs to the King. Therefore, his will is done in every aspect of my life. I'm not the Lord of my life. I'm not the Lord of my checking account. I'm not the Lord of my car. I'm not the Lord of my house. I'm not the Lord of my children. I'm not the Lord of anything. I'm a steward, because my Lord is Jesus, and he is King of my life, and he owns everything in my life, and I am a steward. I'm just a steward, and I want to know, King, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my mouth? What do you want me to do with these hands? What do you want me to do with the very breath I breathe? What do you want me to do with today? What do you want me to do with this week? What do you want me to do with my family? What do you want me to do with this money? What do you want me to do with this car? Your will, King, be done in my life on earth just as it is in heaven. And what Jesus is saying here, when you live with that mindset, all these things, the things you used to chase after, the things you used to want, the things you used to live for, he said, they'll be added. The King will just add them to your life when you live in that kind of surrender. But see, the enemy wants you and I to see surrender as loss. The enemy wants you and I to always see surrender or giving as loss. That if I give my life to Jesus, I'm losing out. If I honor the Lord with my life, I'm losing out. To think that Satan was able to beguile Eve in Genesis chapter 3, that God was holding out on her. Can you eat of all the trees in the garden? He knew good and well she couldn't eat of all them trees. You know what gets me is I don't believe she had eaten of all the trees yet. And all of a sudden, he's bringing this one tree that God said, don't eat of lest you die or you will die. And he brings up this one tree she can't have. I don't even believe she had all the trees. If there was 10 trees in the garden, I don't believe she had five of them. And all of a sudden, the enemy's pointing at the very one she can't have and said, can you have all the trees? And pointing at the very one she can't have. The Bible says stolen waters are sweet. Stolen waters are sweet. Now, there's something wrong with us. It's called sin, that we want what we're not supposed to have. You want somebody else's husband. You want somebody else's wife. You want somebody else's car. You want somebody else's this and that. You always want something that somebody else has. That sin of covetousness that leads the word of God to say stolen waters are sweet. But not knowing what really lies in those waters is poison. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? God is saying here, when you put first the kingdom, all those things you used to chase after, they're going to be added. The King is just going to bring them into your life because you put first his kingdom. See, putting the kingdom first is not loss. It's gain. Now, let me back up into this chapter because I got a whole lot more to cover, but I just can't seem to preach these verses enough. But I want to back up to verse number 21 because there's going to be this challenge of putting the king first, putting the kingdom first, and that challenge is going to always be there because of the root of selfishness. Sin makes us selfish. Can you say amen and be honest? Sin makes us selfish. We're self-centered. We're thinking about self all the time. And he says here in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So there's a divine connection between treasure and heart. That whatever it is you treasure, you surrender your heart to your treasure. My heart is in surrender to my treasure. Whatever it is I treasure, my heart is connected to it. Hallelujah. You know, when you love your spouse, there's a connection between what you treasure and your heart. You can't disconnect your treasure and your heart. Amen? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, God knows we are tested on whether or not we treasure him and whether or not he has our heart. Because you can't say you gave God your heart, but you don't give him the things you treasure. You can't say, oh, Lord, I love you with all my heart. And at the same time, grab that treasure. Gee, don't you touch that now. I ain't saying you treasure your rear end. I'm talking about like you got a wallet back there, all right? Now, I started to say something I ain't going to say. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So there's a connection between what you treasure and your heart. And so, and God knows this. And so we're going to be tested in whether or not we've really given our heart to God by how much do we treasure him or his will, his heart over his hands. So watch what he says in verse number 24. No man can serve two masters. The master then is the one that's having the rule, that's having the final say. No man can serve two masters. And now what Jesus is going to do for us is he's going to tell us about two masters that we'll have in life. I didn't say this. You didn't say this. We weren't smart enough to say this. Jesus said this. He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. And then he said this, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and your money. Because one's going to always have the final word. One's going to dictate the other. And he's saying, if you're in total surrender to me, then your money can't have more influence over you than me. Your treasure can't have more influence over you than me, or else if your money is what you treasure, then it's your master, and you only do what it tells you to do. Therefore, its will is done in your life. Listen, there are a lot of believers that love Jesus up until the point it starts affecting their substance. I'm not preaching this and they're gonna call for an offering. I'm not that minister. I'm not that pastor. I'm not that teacher. I'm gonna teach you this book because it's in this book. What you do with this book is up to you. My hands is off when I teach it. I'm not bringing this up because we're getting ready to take up an offering and ask who can give 500, get down at this altar. We don't do that kind of mess right here. I'm showing you what's in the book. And there are going to be times the Spirit of God and the Word of God is going to lead you. And when it leads you, how you submit and how you respond is based on who you treasure most in your life. This isn't a Sunday church going or Wednesday night church going message. This is a 24-hour day, 7-day week message. How am I living my life? What has the most influence on my life? Hallelujah. And if you're going to seek first the kingdom, which is what he's telling us to do, he said, you have to know that these things that would have taken kingdom place, they're going to be added. See, he goes on throughout the rest of the chapter, and he says in verse number 25, therefore, and that therefore is always there for a reason. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what your body, what you shall put on. He's saying you can't get caught up with the anxieties of life. He says in verse 31, there again, he got long-winded in that point, so he's just now getting back to his therefore. See the therefore in verse 25? Look at the therefore in verse 31. Six verses later, and he's getting back to his therefore. See, when I go on and on about something, I got that from Jesus, all right? Because he's just now getting back to his therefore in verse 31, six verses later. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Gentile means lost folk that don't have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. He said, that's what the world is seeking. That's what the world is running after. He says, but your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now watch this. He says, here's what you do. Instead of running after all those things, you run after the kingdom. You put the kingdom first, and then all those things that the world is running after, watch what they're going to do. Verse 33, they shall be added unto you. He said, they're going to just come into your life.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.